So the topic sermon, the sermon topic, I mean, is General Assembly. Who knew it would be so spiritual? That was a remark I heard more than once a few weeks after returning from General Assembly, where 23 other people and I, members of this congregation, attended the Unitarian Universalist General Assembly in Portland, Oregon. Spirituality shouldn't have been such a surprise because, after all, it was a church conference. But Unitarians have historically been a church that thinks. We take pride in our rational reasoning approach to religion. GA, as I'll refer to it because we like those alphabet-y things at the Unitarian Church, is the annual convention of the Unitarian Universalist Association's churches in the United States. While there's really no way to recreate the deep impact of this event, it seemed too important and too stirring to just be confined to those of us lucky enough to attend in person. So I want to share some stories and some reflections and maybe give you a little bit of the flavor and the inspiration of the experience. And we'll look a little deeper into that thing about spirituality. But first, picture this. This convention center was a wonder. A vast hall, the meeting hall where we did things when we were all together. Warren Bean, our facilities man, besides being an excellent reader, calculated that it would take 38 of our sanctuaries to fill the room. I can't picture it, but just do a little math and see what it looks like. Rows upon rows of chairs were filled with lively, thoughtful, articulate, caring people. Young and old and in between, a refreshing variety of skin tones and geographic and cultural experience. 4,000 to 5,000 people. An ocean of people. Try to imagine it. A virtual sea of UUs joined in singing the songs that we sing, joined in the belief of inherent worth and justice and acceptance. 4,500 people like us believe in the free and responsible search for truth, in the democratic process, in the world with peace and freedom and justice. And 4,500 people in the room who have respect for the interdependent web of life. Just like us. Now, I must confess that I have not been one to tout and exclaim about how wonderful UUs are, though indeed I have found a home here. You know, maybe it was all those childhood injunctions against bragging, but at any rate, I have to tell you, it was a dang awe-inspiring event. To be among so many people, such a large collection of our sometimes all too unique species of mind and intention. But wait, that's not all. Now imagine the banner parade. This was my first assembly, and I'd heard of the banner parade, where someone from each congregation parades around with a banner representing their geography and their congregation. Oh, well, neat, I said. No. It was way, way more than neat. Picture this. A line of 580 people holding banners, big banners, on standards. Not 580 people comes pouring out of over there somewhere, and it wends its way through all the streets and the avenues of the many, many chairs, and it streams by banner after banner after banner until the arena becomes a forest of waving flags, creating a graphic and a visceral recognition that we are a part of something much larger than our little habitat here on Garrett Street. So that was the setting and the atmosphere in which we virtually feasted for 4+ days from a vast repast of educational and inspirational offerings, as well as conducting the necessary business of a very large association. An experience that disclosed the abundance that is spirituality, that reminds us to transform the world into ever-widening channels of love and justice, just like William F. Schultz says. And to not depart from the theme of spirituality, let me speak first about the governance piece. The association and representative delegates from all the congregations spent several hours every single day they were there to work through the business of the church. I don't personally have any tolerance in my bones to participate in governance, but I have to tell you, I was fascinated for a whole hour visiting with one of our delegates, Jay Wexelberger, who described those meetings to me, where the delegates worked their way through all their personal differences and through the complex processes of the governance jungle, guided by the gentle leadership of the moderator, Jim Key, and also the schoolmarm strictures of Robert's Rules of Order, to work to keep our association and our Unitarian Universalism alive and well. I came away from my talk with Jay with a great appreciation for that process, and particularly for the people who were willing to be the delegates where I am not. Jay summed it up by saying, we just heard Bob Huntley's sermon on the demise of democracy in America. He says, well, democracy is sure working in the association. Democracy in action, very spiritual. Perhaps one of our delegates will bring us that sermon one of these days, because it was interesting and amazing. Meanwhile, you can know that the association is hard at it behind the scenes, working through the issues and the ways that we can have a collective framework and support to live out our 7 principles here in Boise, Idaho. Aside from the governance track, there were an overwhelming number of opportunities for energizing and education in the 187 workshops offered, covering 28 topics, including special workshops designed particularly for the youth. Again, opportunity for spiritual awakening as we were connected and touched by these offerings to join again the amazing interdependent web of life. To give you a little idea of the range of offerings, the catalog listed 28 general topics. Here's a few. Anti-racism and oppression, 10 workshops. Climate justice, 10 workshops. Economic justice, 5 workshops. Stewardship, 7 workshops. Justice in action, 16 workshops possible to attend. And spirituality and worship, 16 workshops. A nice balance between justice and spirituality, don't you think? In only one of the 6 workshops that I attended did I see another boof face. So consider the array, the treasure trove of ideas, information, and experience of all those attendees just waiting to be released into the body of this congregation. Gary White came back thinking about the possibilities of creating a professional membership ministry and focusing on the 28th Amendment, which would make clear that corporations are not people and money is not speech. Wanda Jennings returned home with conviction that to continue making the world a better place, we need to develop a climate action team or focus on economic justice, maybe by creating a public bank. Just a few of the seeds of possibilities that came home with us from General Assembly. I'd like to describe my own experience with one of the workshops I attended and maybe illustrate the subtle collective aspect of the powerful, multifaceted experience of General Assembly. I attended a workshop entitled Transformation Without Apocalypse, A Moral Response to Climate Change, presented by Kathleen Dean Moore, who was a professor at Oregon State University and an environmental philosopher and an essayist. The specific content of that workshop is a great subject for a six-week religious education class. Elton. But what I want to share here is the impact that it had on me, as I felt that thrust and impulse of humanity to see beyond its immediate concerns that Dan Wakefield described as spirituality. I was not a stranger to the subject of climate change. Who can be anymore? I was further exposed to the complexity and the breadth of those issues because my partner, Mark, has recently been greatly moved by the Pope's encyclical level on the subject, and it had become a regular topic of conversation in the household. My engagement with it, however, remained intellectual. The issues felt too big, too hopeless, too frightening to really let them get inside of me. But Moore's presentation, framing and elucidating these issues of climate change in the context of a moral response, snapped something open. It expanded my consciousness to another realm of awareness, above or below or beyond the rational, fact-laden layer where the issues stirred passive concern, but mostly fear and helplessness. The workshop opened a realm of awareness in which I was in touch with the inherent essence of being a moral creature and thus intimately connected with climate change, not by the way I was thinking about it, but by the moral imperative, as Moore stated it, the moral imperative that assuring our own comfort at terrible cost to the future is not worthy of us as moral beings. In a burst of spiritual awakening, climate change issues had taken up residence deep in my psyche. I don't know yet what it means to be more conscious, but I can tell you that every day I am more acutely aware than I was before I attended this convention of my overconsumption of goods, my wasting of food, my long, lovely showers. And so it was with the entire assembly experience. For 4 days, we breathed the call to social and economic justice, racial equality, ecological revolution, felt the challenge of white supremacy and privilege, heard the challenge to live the principles that we espouse. And in some organic gestalt of the many parts, General Assembly itself was indeed spiritual. And I haven't even talked yet about those elements that were designed to touch the spirit. These exquisitely leavened the bread. Talented, creative leaders, musicians, singers, dancers, storytellers led us in worship and celebration morning and night. I want to tell you a little about two speakers, just to hop on Warren's introduction, and hoping that it will pique your interest enough to do exactly what he instructed about going online and finding your own way to see and hear in person the amazing array of thought and presentation that's available there. Replace one show a night with one of the recorded GA events for a little refreshment for your mind and soul. If you don't have a computer, go to the library. Warren and I mean it about this. You owe it to yourself Huh. He's not talking to me. One of the stellar sermons that we heard was delivered by Dr. Marlon Lavanar, senior minister of All Souls Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's served there since 2000, and in that time, his membership of that church has increased 80%. Whoa. Listening to his sermon, you will see why. Humble and articulate, his authenticity and presence were a message in themselves as he explored the general theme of the assembly, building a new way. If I could show you a trailer of that talk, like they have for the movies, I would show you the part where he mentions that we UUs can practice doublespeak just like they do on Fox News. Ooh. And the part where he talks about Unitarian Universalism becoming what it can be, a faith beyond something for mostly white, middle-class, NPR-listening people. Go home and listen to a master sermon. One of the most important events at the General Assembly is always the Ware Lecture. Every year, a prominent person from outside the UU tradition is invited to speak. Previous speakers include Reinhold Niebuhr, Martin Luther King Jr., Mary Oliver. We've heard these names. This year, the Ware lecturer was Cornel West, a provocative democratic intellectual with impressive credentials that are too lengthy to mention here. But maybe you've even seen him on CNN or Real Time with Bill Maher or maybe the Colbert Report. If so, you know him to be a fiery, Baptist-bred black man whose articulate passion reaches right down through your mind, past your heart, into your belly. His delivery is that of a preacher at a corner pulpit, and while his style is partly showmanship, it so clearly comes from the authenticity of his history and personality that the razzle-dazzle only reinforces his passionate message. What could proclaim integrity more beautifully than a beautiful man of integrity speak of integrity with power? Go home and listen to a master presentation. All in all, the GA experience was one of immersion into the synergy that comes when a method and message, content and process are congruent. All the elements came together to reinforce in word and deed that we must foster that intelligence of which Rumi speaks, the fountainhead within, the spiritual base out of which our passion and compassion and moral integrity arise, and moving out provide the impetus and the direction of our reasoning and action as we endeavor to make our lives and this world a better place. And there we have it. General Assembly in 20 minutes through the lens of Patricia Heeb. I have solicited and incorporated input from other attendees, but they would tell you different stories in different ways. Interestingly, I came home from General Assembly with a deep unease crawling around inside, with something gnawing at my guts. What the heck? Home from a truly glorious experience of beloved community, mental challenge, expanded awareness, fellowship, creativity, inspiration, feeling, well, icky inside. But isn't that the nature of true spiritual experience? It's not all glorious sunsets and starry nights. Spiritual experience hits you at the core. It changes you. It rearranges your molecules. It shifts your perspective and your consciousness. It wakes you up when you were very comfy sleeping. It challenges you to be more of who you can be, to hear sharper, see clearer, speak braver, act better, Care deeper, love wider. I heard Ram Dass speak a few years ago, and he said, once you're awake, you can't go back to sleep. May it be so.